Brethren, would you please turn in your Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew, Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13. We're going to read Matthew 13, verse 12, one verse to begin. We're going to read more verses, God willing, in a little bit, but we'll begin with this one. This is the text that I want us to study this morning and, God willing, learn from. These words are the words of Jesus. Matthew 13, verse 12. He has just given a parable. He is at the seaside in a boat, preaching to a multitude, and he says these words: "For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath." God bless the reading of his word. God bless these words to us. God teach us and open our hearts and minds to receive his word. "For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath." The words of Jesus. You can see at the beginning of this chapter, the first verse says, "The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. And great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables." And after he finished that first parable, which we typically call the parable of the sower, or the sower and the seed, he begins to expound a little bit and expand some, because his disciples come to him and say, "Why speakest thou unto them in parables? Why are you talking in parables?" And Jesus answered and said unto them, this is verse 11, "Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given." And then he speaks the words which we read in verse 12. Great multitudes are gathered to hear Jesus, and he begins to teach them. He speaks to them many things in parables. And one of those parables, that first one, is the parable of the sower. We're going to read that parable in the course of the sermon, the parable about sowing and producing. Do you remember last week that we talked about sowing, or Jesus said, "Except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth or remaineth alone. But if it die, it brings forth much fruit." Sowing and reaping, receiving, producing. Verse 12, brethren. Verse 12, to my ear, and to the natural man's ear, and into my ear, someone whose, God willing, heart's been open to hear and understand spiritual things, it has an odd ring to it. It seems odd to me that Jesus would say, "Whoever has, to him shall be given, and he'll have more abundance. But whoever has not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath." I read a fair amount of news articles and opinions and of society and the pundits and what they say and what men in general think. And just to say that for those who have, we're going to give them more, or they're going to be given more. And for those who lack, what they have is going to be taken. It's just got an odd sound to it, doesn't it? But Jesus, brethren, here is speaking spiritual things. Know that, brethren, know that. He said, when the disciples said, "Why are you talking to them in parables?" And he says, "Because it's given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven." Jesus is not talking about the kingdom of this world and how things are done among men and in society. He's speaking spiritual things here. I've been blessed studying this. I was familiar with this verse. I was reading along several days ago and came to this verse, and it's just stuck with me, and I've meditated on it this week and studied some and done some reading, and I feel like I've been blessed to gain some knowledge about it, and I want to, God willing, I have. He's given me some insight, and I want to share it with you. You may have a whole lot of insight about it, more than me already, but let's meditate on it together. Those who have, get. Those who have not, lose what they have in God's spiritual economy. You can read about our economy of our society, and people have opinions on what others ought to get and ought not to get. And God addresses that somewhat in the New Testament. In one place, Paul the Apostle, I believe, says those that won't work shouldn't eat. That's a kind of a very practical thing on the economy of things in our society and in God's economy. But God, in God's economy, everything belongs to Him. It's His. I've been thinking this week, I don't know what got me thinking about it other than God, but I don't know what prompted it, but about stewardship. And some of you may know, I've told some of you, I have a contract on a piece of land, and I had the audacity to think I'm going to own that. That's kind of presumptuous, isn't it, brethren? I've been looking at land. I've been looking at who owns land. I've got an app that I can turn on and ride down the road, and if I read it right, I can see who owns this piece and who owns that piece. Wrong. Who owns it, brethren? We're at best, we're stewards of it. And I've come to think of that a lot in the last week or two as I'm thinking about purchasing the right to the use and possession. You know, that's really what the legal people say. You have a right to the use and possession of it. But technically you don't own it. God owns it. And at best, I'm a steward. And God's got me to thinking, you know, if I get it, I want to be a good steward of it. Steward of whatever God gives me, whatever He gives me. God owns it all, brethren. And you and I would do well to remember that. Everything belongs to God. It's His wealth, His resources, natural and spiritual. And Jesus is talking about here spiritual things. And He, being God, has the absolute sovereign right to give and to take natural things and spiritual things. The Lord gave, the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Who said that? Who said that?
Job
did. Job was the greatest man, I think it says. I didn't go back and check this. He was a wealthy, wealthy man. And he knew that his wealth, brethren, came from God. Or the wealth that he was steward over came from God. He had it, brethren. I can't remember the figures. 500 donkeys, 1,000 yoke of oxen. I can't remember, but just thousands of head of livestock and land. And he lost, God took every, or allowed Satan to take it. He allowed it. It's gone in minutes. One messenger would come to Job and be telling him the Sabaeans came and they killed the servants and they took the livestock. And before he could finish, another messenger, and he says, and I'm the only one left that got out alive. And before he could finish, another would come and begin telling him. And at the end of that, brethren, Job said, the Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Job knew he was a steward. He knew where those things came from. He knew they didn't belong to him. They were God's. And at best, he was the steward of them. happy ending to the story. God ultimately gave him twice as much as he had to begin with. Job's a wonderful book. But anyway, God gave those things and he took them and he has the absolute right to do it. Whether it's a natural thing or a spiritual thing. We're going to study spiritual things today. The parable of the sower sheds light on Jesus' statement, I believe, statement in verse 12 about those who have get and those who have not, what they have will be taken away. Brethren, the whole purpose, I guess, of preaching all the time is that the whole purpose is to glorify God, but it's a practical aspect, brethren. The purpose of studying the Word of God and Jesus' teaching is to examine ourselves in the light of God's Word. When I read, if God blesses me to be thinking right, brethren, I'm thinking, how do I measure up against this? I do not ever need to say, how do I measure up against you? Or you, how do you measure up against me? Don't do that. Don't measure yourselves by another. Measure yourself in the light of God's Word. Jesus spake many things unto them in parables. And the first one, he says this. Look at chapter 13, verse 3 now. Let's examine this parable. And I'm going to, God willing, I think it connects up to what Jesus said. And I will try to connect it through the direction of the Holy Spirit. May God connect it for us. He spake many things unto them in parables, saying, this is verse 3, behold, anytime you see that, brethren, the writer is saying, listen up. A sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up and they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. First of all, brethren, if you have ears to hear, it's because God's given you ears to hear. And Jesus is talking here about spiritual things, not just the fact that sound waves beat against your eardrum and you hear a sound, you hear something. My hearing is not good. It's not what it should be and what it once was. And it's getting more frequent. I'll say to Jan, what's that? Or do you hear that? Or she'll say, do you hear that? And yesterday we were sitting in the swing. She said, do you hear that? I said, no, I don't hear it. What do you hear? And she started describing it. And I said, no, I don't hear it. I don't hear that. God gives us natural hearing. But here, we're talking about, brethren, spiritual insight, spiritual understanding, spiritual ears. Jesus says, if you've got spiritual ability to hear, listen to this. And you get that spiritual insight only from God. His disciples came and said unto him, why do you speak in parables? He answered and said unto them, verse 11, because it is given unto you. Know that, brethren. You and I didn't earn it. We didn't study it up. We didn't become smart enough to all of a sudden grasp this. You and I are given the privilege, brethren, and the blessing of knowing the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. Jesus says, I've been talking about the kingdom of heaven here, and you all are blessed to know, figure out, understand what I've been talking about. But not everybody's able to do that. But to them, it is not giving. There was a vast multitude of people there listening to him, and he gave that parable. The disciple says, why are you talking in parables? He says, I'm talking about mysterious things. If I read you that verse and I said to you, those that have, we're going to give them some more. And those that don't, we're going to take what they've got. You might say, Brother Mike, that's kind of mysterious there. What you talking about here? It doesn't make sense. But brethren, it'll make sense. It'll make sense to you if God will help us when we study this carefully and prayerfully. And if God be pleased to have us understand. Because, Jesus said, I'm speaking of a mysterious thing, a puzzling thing, a hidden thing, a mystery of the kingdom of heaven. Jesus said before Pilate, and I think about this more and more, he says, my kingdom is not of this world. You know, he was just educating Pilate a little bit when Pilate said, was puzzled, why don't you defend yourself? You know, where are your followers? Why don't you come in here and bow up, you know, and surround us? Why don't they come rescue you? And Jesus says, my kingdom's not from here. And Jesus was explaining that to Pilate. But more and more, brethren, when I think of that verse and I think about it more often, it's Jesus reminding me, Mike, the things of me are not of this world. So don't put your hopes on those things. Don't spend so much time on those things. Think of things above the world that you live in. Now, let me comment on the parable just a little bit. Jesus says later in this chapter, he's talking about this sower and the seed. A sower went forth to sow, and some seed fell by the wayside. The seed, brethren, Jesus says very plainly, is the Word of God, the teachings of Jesus. The teachings of Jesus, when they're put out there by preaching or ever how they go out, some, brethren, are going to understand them and some are not. Some are going to have them and some are going to have nothing to do with it. Some hear, some fall by the wayside. Some of the preaching, the Word of God, it falls by the wayside. Some will not understand the concept, and some may understand it briefly and say, I'm not having that. Some will hear and some will understand, but they lack deepness of earth. It may take root, it will take root in some, and it'll spring up. And brethren, when there's trouble, or when it's time to deny yourself a little bit, they're going to wither away. They're going to say, that's not for me. That's that second category Jesus is talking about. There's not much earth. It's not very deep. Your commitment doesn't run very deep. We've all, Brother Victor's he's a professional farmer. He knows all about it. But all of us have planted a tomato plant or a garden. We all know about the seed bed and the preparing the soil, don't we? Jesus says about this second group, there's not much earth there. It doesn't go very deep. I think I told you this. A friend of mine told me one time about planting rye. He said, you can throw it out there on concrete and that stuff, it'll sprout. About how tough it was. Well, it might do it, but it won't last long, right? There's not much earth there. It may sprout. It might find a little crack there, but it's not going to do much. They sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. They sprung up quickly. They sprouted. Verse 6, and when the sun was up, they were scorched. And because they had no root, the root didn't go down into the dirt because there was not much depth there. They withered away. The third category in verse 7, some fell among thorns. They sprouted. There was some earth there, enough for to give them a place for a root. They sprung up. But the problem was thorns were there too. There were weeds there and thorns. And they sprang up at that or about the same time. And the thorns choked them. And the explanation of that category is, among other things, they received the word. It took root in them. But the things of the world were just more important than the things of God. The cares of the world. Maybe that's why I read this morning in our responsive reading about don't worry about the things of the world. God's in control. He's in control. The things of the earth sprung up, the thorns sprung up and choked them. When I get to verse 8, brethren, visions of a beautiful, well-watered field or garden, burst on my sight. But other, this is the fourth category, fell into good ground. I've told you about my friend, Brother Wesley, from years gone by. He would pray, be at church, and I'd call on him to pray, and he'd say, "May good seed find fertile ground." I think that was his expression right there. He would be praying that what the preacher's about to say, may it be the right words and may it find fertile ground. But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit. Brought forth fruit. Remember, don't forget last week, the fruit that Jesus brought forth. He said, "Unless I fall into the ground, I abide alone. But if I do, I bring forth much." And we're part of that harvest. Did any of you all notice driving into town after last Sunday, the sign on the east side church there? It said, "It's fall, be part of God's harvest." Made me feel good. Now, they probably talking about a little different doctrinal point than I was talking about, but it was interesting to see that. Something like it's the fall of the year, be part of God's harvest. And first thing I saw when I read that or thought about when I read that is, yep, I'm a part of it. They probably asking you to become a child of God, that you ought to become a child of God, be part of the harvest. We believe differently. But I can say, I can smile when I see that sign and say, yep, I thank the Lord, I am a part of it. He fell into the earth and died for me. And I'm a part of that harvest. He brought forth my eternal salvation. These categories, brethren, have to do with us and what we do with what we've been given. Other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit. Brought forth fruit. The blade formed, the ear formed, it matured, and then it became ready for the harvest. Some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. I think a lesson to that is we don't all bring about the same type or the same amount of fruit, but the thing is we are to bring forth fruit. Who hath ears to hear? Let him hear. The good ones, they receive the word of God. They're ready to receive it. Do you know, brethren, that there's a work that you need to do, and there's a work for me too, and I need to receive it, but primarily I'm to speak it. That's my task, and you're to hear it, to prepare your heart before you get here, ideally, but certainly pray that God will feed you and help you. He's given you ears to hear. You and I need to pray, brethren, that give me the word, Lord. Let me receive it. Let me receive it as good ground to hear and understand it. We receive the word of God ready and prepared to obey it, to practice it. We hear the word. Now back to verse 12. Whosoever hath, that means you possess something. You possess a fleshly heart from a stony heart. You've been regenerated. You've been born again. You have the capacity to hear and understand. And I believe that Jesus here is speaking about those who have done that, that they prepared their hearts, that they're willing to listen. They're willing to obey. We studied this morning about a man named Saul, a king named Saul. God gave him a commandment and he disobeyed it. His heart was not right with God. His heart was on himself and what he wanted to do, which reminded me, there's a quote in here I want to cite to you. Maybe I won't forget it, but toward the end of the lesson, Brother Lindy, who wrote the lesson, his thinking was similar to what I was thinking. Whosoever hath, he's going to get more. The one whose heart has been prepared and it's alive and it's receptive because God's Spirit is abiding in him. But brethren, you and I, we got to do more than just show up at church and say, "Feed me." We got to prepare that heart. We got to cultivate it. Brother Victor, our resident professional, full-time farmer, he would never go into a field with seed in his hoppers when that seed bed hadn't been prepared already and the thing ready to be planted. He'd never do that. And hopefully you and I won't show up at church when we've not already prepared to come and hear the Word of God. Ready to hear it and ready to obey it. Ready to do God's will. And that's what I think Jesus is talking about here, where he says, whosoever hath what? Hath prepared his heart. Who's become ready to listen to me? Who's ready to obey me? Whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. Do you see? Doesn't it now sound a little fairer, if you will? Doesn't it make a little more sense now that Jesus says, those who are willing to hear my words, those where the seed falls into good ground, where the seed's not by the wayside or on stony ground or among thorns, because the seed's going to perish there, the plant's going to perish there. Those whose hearts are like good ground, then they're going to be given. They're going to be given more blessings, added blessings. We are studying in our Bible study book the quarterly theme for this quarter. That would be October, November, December, wouldn't it? Right on the front of the book, the abundant life. I want to point something out to you. Every lesson in here is about the abundant life. And that's the life in the here and now. Get these words of Jesus. Whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more what? Abundance. Yeah. Jesus is saying that those who hear my words, he says, behold, listen to what I'm saying. Those who hear my words as a seed that falls into a prepared seed bed, fertile, ready to receive the soil, ready to receive the word of God in their hearts and obey it, they're blessed. Because they've got ears to hear, but they're willing to put into practice. You men, when you pray, often, almost every time, you say, give Brother Mike words to say that we can use in our everyday lives. So many of you say that. Well, thank you for doing that. God bless you for praying for me and praying for yourselves. And Jesus says, I am going to give it. I'm going to give you this. Because you are ready to receive it and hear it and obey it. You're going to be given more. But whosoever hath not, whoever's not going to hear my words, whoever's not going to practice it, what I preach, what Jesus is preaching, is going to be taken. What you do have is going to be taken from you. You're not going to live the abundant life. You're going to be a barren and unfruitful. Whosoever hath not is the opposite of the whosoever hath. I've got two quotes for you. Here's one. This comes from Matthew Henry. I was studying that, and this is what I read last night about stewardship and about being given. Do you want to give who would God want to give stewardship to? What kind of persons would he want? The rule God observes in dispensing his gifts. Whosoever hath, to him shall be given. About to talk about who's going to get it. He bestows them on those who improve them, but takes them away from those who bury them. Do you remember the parable of the talents? It is a rule among men that they will rather entrust their money with those who have increased their estates by their industry than with those who have diminished them with their slothfulness. Matthew Henry says, you know, even among men, who are you going to use as somebody if you want to entrust them with your money? I paid a visit about a month or two ago to a financial advisor here. And I was thinking about that when I was reading Matthew Henry. And I asked around, you know, and I checked them out a little bit. And who would I want to invest my money with? Who would I want to say, help me invest this right here? Somebody who's a derelict, who's failed financially? I mean, that doesn't make sense, does it? That's why, brethren, God says, whoever has listened to me and put into practice and done my will, I'm going to give him more. And the ones that don't, I'll just take what I gave him. This is talking about people that have been made alive. It's a practical teaching about abundance and the lack thereof. And obedience. And those who are willing to obey, God's going to bless them. Let's see. Now, Brother Lindy's quote, in the Bible study lesson, I underlined it this morning. Listen to this. When we fully submit to God, that's like we're good ground. We're willing to receive the Word of God and obey it and practice it, as your prayers say. When we fully submit to God, He will also bless us, there's that word again, abundantly. He shall have more abundance. That abundance may or may not include earthly things like wealth, privilege, and good health. It may or may not include that. If we are blessed with those things, we should praise God. If not, we should praise God. That's a good point, isn't it? That's Brother Lindy Webb Jr. wrote this lesson. When we consider that God blesses us abundantly, we should have a spiritual perspective and not an earthly one. I said at the outset, we're talking spiritual things here, not earthly. When we are blessed abundantly, we have peace like no other, joy beyond belief, and assurance of a relationship with our Heavenly Father. And there it is. I pray and I hope that the words of Jesus now are making more and more sense. And you're saying, well, that is fair. That is. Maybe at the beginning you said, or you thought, well, is that fair? But now, when we're dealing with spiritual things and delving into this, I'm praying that you're saying, and I'm saying, well, that's fair. What more can you ask? What more can you ask? Now, yet there is something else you can ask, and that I can ask myself. Do you feel like you're a have or a have not? You know, we talk about the haves and the have nots. How do you feel? If you feel like a have not, it's your own doing. If I feel like it, it's my own doing. I can be a have not if I start putting all my affections on things of the world, and they start becoming gods to me. And the Word of God, I've got ears to hear, but I close my ears and I won't hear it. And I say, no, I'd rather do it my way. Brother Lindy says at the beginning of his lesson about doing it God's way or your own way. If you want to be a have, brethren, you got to do it God's way. I've told you before, I've lived long enough I've learned that. I've learned it the hard way many times. And now, I pretty much just say, okay, Lord, I'll do it. Because I've learned it's the best way. It's your way, and it's the best way. Do you feel this morning like you're a have? If you do, it's a good feeling, isn't it? Because you're going to have more. You're going to have more abundantly. It's because you are willing to receive the Word of God and obey it and live it and put it into practice. Sometimes you have to just do it blindly. You say, I don't understand it, Lord. I don't want it, but I'm going to do it. Just do it. Just do it. And you'll be happy. Do you feel that you have more abundance? If so, brethren, it's because you're good ground. Your heart is right and you're obedient. And you've done the commands of Jesus. And you've been obedient. You've been blessed for it. Whosoever hath, to him shall be given. And he shall have more abundance. And as Brother Lindy says, if it happens to be good health and a good bank account and good lands and livestock, that's good. Just thank God for it. But if it happens to be not that, thank God anyway. That you're a child of God and that you will have spiritual blessings, whether you have the natural or not, you will have them. Oh Lord God, help us to understand your word, and it's praised here so often by these dear brethren. Teach it to us and may we put it into practice. Oh God, thank you for your word. Thank you for blessing us to have ears to hear. Thank you for blessing us spiritually. Oh God, help us to learn it, oh God, that if we'll obey you, you'll bless us. Certainly, certainly spiritually, and maybe even naturally too. You do give us more than we deserve and more than we could ever enjoy. We thank you for that, oh God. Bless us to read this verse again and again and be reminded of how we need to live the lives you give us. May what we do, O Lord, honor and glorify you. Let my words, O God, be acceptable in your sight, I pray. May they enlighten me and the hearers of them, and may they glorify you, O God. We pray it. We thank you, Lord, and we pray it in the name of Jesus and for his sake. Amen.